Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 405, Server Reboot. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
You're playing on your phone, Shiva. You're playing the cat game.
No, actually, I'm talking to my sister.
Oh, that's important, though. So we're all here. We've survived. The world's been full of bullshit.
And I've here had the we flu. Are.
You had the flu. I had, like, some food poisoning or something last week.
I misheard you. I thought you said I have the flow. And like, no, you're usually not quite that personal on the show.
It's like moment of vulnerability and all that, but really, Shiva, I thought you fixed that problem.
I don't share those details.
Yeah. Oh, also that gonorrhea is finally clearing up.
We're all nice and clean. Don't worry about that, kids. Also, we're not going to fuck you. So, asterisk.
Sorry to blow your chances.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want a trio of middle-aged furs to bone down? So, yeah, it's been an exciting couple weeks.
We can have sex, but we got to do it before 9 o'clock because that's my bedtime.
And I got to watch my stories. Got to catch the news. That David Finfrock, he sure is a silver fox.
I don't know who that is.
He's a local weathercaster who's been on the news forever. Like, I don't know if he still does it.
I would have gone with like Anderson Cooper, I guess.
Anderson Cooper is a silver fox.
He is, yeah.
I also watch a stupid YouTube series called Irish People Do X. And it's usually like a panel of like two pairs of like three double... There's six people total. That's like two and two. And one of the Irish guys is like the salt and pepper gray, but he is very obviously in mid to late 20s. So he's just like, okay, you're hot. Yeah. I like gray hair on guys. I always have.
We are Southpaws. We are current events. We are furry. We are media. And there's lots of that because, you know, we had the elections last week. We had BlizzCon last week. And it's actually a really good thing that we didn't record last week because there was our hot takes from that evening wouldn't have been quite right.
Yeah.
It's been a week.
We would have been all rage.
Yeah, we would have been like Matt Chrisman on the Choppa Trap House where he's like swaying back and forth and got so drunk that Twitch staff had to be like, hey, you need to get him off the air. He's too drunk. And he was replaced by Black Matt Chrisman. It was just one of their friends. He was just like sitting in. They did their technical difficulties. We'll be right back. And then they came back and it was another dude sitting in his chair and they didn't like remark upon it at all. It was like, boop. Huh. We got a new one. We got a new Matt. So elections were good and bad. Like Texas went way bluer than it would have gone if Beto hadn't been part of the thing. Sadly, Beto nor Lupe Valdez did not win. There was like a 200,000 vote difference between Beto and Cruz.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's super fucking close. That shows that there is a demographic shift.
Oh, and also what was comment I read about this was that like the RNC had to spend a lot more money in Texas than they normally would for a Texas Senate race, because normally it'd be a foregone conclusion that an incumbent Republican senator running for re-election in Texas would be re-elected with like a minimum of effort. But they had to pour so many resources into getting Cruz re-elected that affected some of the down ballot stuff that they weren't able to spend money on,
which cost them dearly.
So, like, this article was like, this is probably a big part of why, like, Pete Sessions lost his House seat.
That motherfucker.
Yeah. I'm so glad Pete Sessions is no longer a congressman. Cause
like, and Jeff Sessions is, well, that's a different thing entirely. Yeah. But, yeah.
Pete Sessions was our congressman when we lived in our apartment. We were in his district. He was our representative. Which always pissed me off because he's been considered one of, if not the most corrupt people in Congress as a whole. And now, you know, he's been unseated by a Democrat in that district, which is awesome. And I don't know if I mentioned it on, I guess I probably didn't mention it on the podcast, but my district that I'm in now had a Republican in the state house and a Republican in the state Senate, and they both lost their reelection bids to Democrats. So now at the state level, yeah, there's still not many Democrats. The Republicans still have a supermajority in the state Senate, but my district is now represented by two Democrats. So at least I know that the people representing our household are going to be more in line with my political ideals.
Yeah, and Matt Rinaldi, which was another odious dumb shit, lost his to Julie Johnson. Like, I'm pretty sure that Sessions actually has Panther blocked because he would be all up in his mentions on Twitter. It was like he's been engaged with politics on his like personal Twitter for a while. It's just like he's gotten blocked by some people. It's kind of funny, but he's like, see ya, fucker.
Which one, Pete Sessions or Jeff Sessions?
Jeff Sessions, the local one.
No, Pete.
Pete Sessions, the local Sessions, the corrupt motherfucker, as right. opposed yeah, to the yeah, national yeah. corrupt motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah. But in any event, so that was good. Then Pete Huffines, I think, lost to the dude that did the score on the 2005 Dragon Ball Z redub.
Don Huffines.
Don Huffines lost yeah. to. Where is it? Like we have everything like listed, mm-hmm. but it's been a while, so I'm looking. But basically, the guy that did the musical score to the Dragon Ball Z redo in 2005 for Funimation beat Huffines.
Yeah, he beat Don Huffines,
which is great because it's like, yo, anime represented in the state government, yay.
But this happened nationwide. Like, wasn't it something like the Republicans lost like 400 positions nationwide?
It was something like that. From it was a massive.
From state level governments to congressional seats that the Democrats flipped, and some important governorships, which the governorships going Democratic is super fucking important. Because in 2020, there will be a census. And in 2021, there will be a redrawing of congressional districts as a result of that census. And in a lot of states, it comes down to the governor having a lot of control and a lot of say in how the congressional districts of their state are drawn. So, like, the I can't remember, it was like the three or four governorships that flipped Democratic.
It's like Nevada, that's
three or four more states that are that have the potential to become way less gerrymandered than they are now.
Across Texas, there was this group of like 19 or 22 black women judges that were up for election, and every single one of them won.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of flips everywhere on the ballot, and it really got everybody excited.
Now have the first two Native Americans in Congress, one of whom is a lesbian MMA fighter.
Yeah, we had a first couple Muslim women in Congress as well. But the fact that it took this long to have an actual Native American woman, or Native American period, in our political system is fucked, but what's new?
I saw one tweet that was like, hey, if the election results got you down, just imagine Mike Pence swearing in two Muslim Congress people on a Quran.
Yeah. And it was funny because, like, Fox News is like, oh, my God, these young Democrats. Because, like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won in New York handily. And she's been kicking mud the moment she got there. And so she...
Like, she's not even there.
Yeah, but she's in there and engaging.
Yeah.
And so Fox News had this thing. It was, like, these two Muslim women whose names I have somewhere in this list, as well as Alexandria and one other woman, them in the sky over the Senate building with like their goal. And it's like free healthcare, free education, Green New Deal. And like, they're like, hey, yo, thanks for advertising what we want.
Yeah. Thanks for promoting our Democratic platform.
It's like, yeah, we want, you know, free healthcare and legal weed. Great.
And it's so funny that like Fox puts this up here. It's like, look at these terrible things that they want to do. They want your children to have health care. How dare they?
And education.
And like, So much so that, like, Ocasio-Cortez, like, quote retweeted the Fox News screen cap of that, you know, being like, yeah, this is what we want to do. We want to help children and poor people. You know, how awful.
This was also a major repudiation of, like, the QAnon bullshit. All the people like, oh, we're going to have a red tsunami. They're actually going to indict and arrest all these Democrats and they'll never take power. And it's some crazy land stuff. Like,
wow.
There's this one guy like, I 100% guarantee a Republican majority in the House and a much bigger Republican majority in the Senate after 11/8/18. The media polls are lies. Same as 2016. Screenshot this. And of course, somebody did.
Yeah. Trump was like, we increased our Senate majority by like
two,
seven people or something. Or he was like 7 to 9 people. And they were like, there was only 7 Republicans that were up for re-election.
Yeah, know? They gained like so, 2 maybe.
Yeah.
And lost 40 and in this House.
How many are one is still being counted, and that's Florida.
Yeah, Florida and both Florida and Georgia are getting recounted.
Well, Georgia is a governorship.
Yeah.
But Arizona or New Mexico, Arizona's the one that was just decided like 2 days ago that the Democrat won.
Nice.
So we'll still be at a disadvantage in the Senate, but the Republicans don't have a supermajority. So they're, you know, there's going to have to be a lot of compromise. And, you know, yeah, the House is under Democratic control now. So, like, there is finally a check on Trump and Republicans' power. Like, they have a majority in the Supreme Court. They have the White House. They have a majority in the Senate. But thank fuck one part of the government, the House of Representatives, is no longer a Republican majority. So finally, the system of checks and balances will be back in place. And they won't just be able to run roughshod over the Constitution.
It's a wrench in the gears. It's kind of our best case scenario, really. Because
yeah, it's our best case scenario that, like, we're slowing down the damage. We haven't been able to stop it, but it will be significantly curtailed. And, you know, yeah, the night of the election and the day after, I was really bummed that Beto didn't win. You know, I really thought he had a chance. And, you know, it turned out he got way fucking closer than any other Democrat that's run against a Republican senator. Like Tyrion was going through some of the numbers for me of the last few Senate elections in Texas, and the Republican won. It was like 58%, 63%. You know, it was always by a really comfortable margin. And this one was like 51-48. You know, point something on both of them.
Yeah.
With like 0.7 was like the Libertarian candidate or something.
I actually saw some signs for that dumbass around here.
Oh.
I was like, who? I mean, so yeah, we didn't get everything we wanted, but it was still really good. Three states expanded Medicaid, which like awesome. Had been a problem. Like Maine's governor got flipped Democratic because the current governor of Maine had been blocking their Medicaid expansion.
Oh.
Like they'd voted on it over and over, and the governor was just like, nope,
vetoing it.
Not gonna do it. It was a veto-proof majority. Like they did it, and he was just like, I'm not gonna do it. So he was voted out, and they have a new governor who will do it.
Mm.
Places like Michigan enabled legalized weed, a la Colorado.
I guess Nevada did too.
I think so. Massachusetts actually had a real shitty referendum up that was like, oh, should we like strip trans people from having protections? And
it was defeated handily.
Like 68% were like, fucking no.
Yeah.
So that was really good because I have friends I know out there who are very concerned.
Yeah.
New York State Senate has gone Democratic. The entire state of New Mexico is under Democratic control now, as Zia has been very happily telling me. Guy Fieri got reelected as the mayor of Flavortown, which is very important.
Yes, absolutely.
Homeboy's been out there feeding the victims of the camp fire, which is nice.
Again. Because he did that before. And yeah, I guess I'm not surprised he's still doing that. That's really cool.
You know, nothing but respect for my mayor of Flavortown.
Like, I've never seen his show, and, like, I know a lot of people dislike him, but I'm like, but he's on a personal level, he seems to be, like a decent guy, you know?
I really don't know, but, like, his shows are entertaining, and he is doing some tangible good out in the world, which is fine. Colorado has a gay governor.
Yep.
Which is cool. Yeah, the guy who did the score for DBZ, his name is Nathan Johnson.
Okay.
That's so funny that, you know.
He's a musician who got into politics. That's great.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's been a really interesting week because now, you know, people are going, all right, you motherfuckers, we're going to get some shit done in terms of we're going to find your fucking tax record and you're going to do this. Like, we're going to investigate this shit and find out and put to light all your fucking malfeasance and, like, mm-hmm. on the federal level. And Trump's been fucking flipping out.
Oh, he's been
the whole dumbass. They go out to their car and change their clothes.
Yeah, that was
a stupid motherfucker.
So this is funny because, like, I've seen people make jokes about this. And I made a joke about this on election day as, like, a picture of Adam curled up in his bed. It's like, me and my little Antifa super soldier are so tired because we went and voted 69 times today. Nice. and the line about, oh, you know, remember, every I voted sticker is worth 1,000 Soros bucks. Oh,
God.
And so this is, like, the president, honest to God, saying that people literally vote, go to their cars, change their costume, and go back and vote again. Like, do you have no idea how voting works?
Yeah, yeah. He clearly doesn't.
Well, he doesn't have any idea of how a lot of shit works.
He doesn't know how politics works.
He doesn't know how grocery purchasing works. He was in that same conversation, in that same interview, he talked about, like, if you go to buy a box of cereal, you've got a voter ID, because he made that statement that you need ID to purchase groceries.
Right, yeah.
Like, no, you don't.
They don't even ask for your ID for credit cards anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, the major processing companies have basically said that's not required. That and signatures.
Yeah, like if we go to lunch at Pizzarella, if they pay with the chip card, we don't even need a signature. We just put the tip on and say, hey, well, have a good one, dude. And that's it. So homeboy, like, went to Europe, dissed the troops at, like, the centennial of the end of World War One. Oh, my
God. I mean, such a fucking national embarrassment. Like, okay, so this actually got me, like, really fucking pissed off. My own weird sense of patriotism, like, I'm not I try not to be a super patriotic person. I've always been kind of like, yeah, where you're born shouldn't fucking matter. Although I am totally like, oh, Scotland, you know? But whenever, like when he made the queen wait, I got really fucking, like, I'm not really a royalist, you know, like I don't really care about the royals or anything, but, like, when he stood up our queen, I was like, that's our queen, how dare he, you know? But, like, yeah, so our, like, 92-year-old queen and all the other government leaders went on this, like, solemn walk to the gravesite of all these World War One soldiers as a group, you know, regardless of party. You know, I know they're not all liberals or they're not all conservatives. And they did this together. And that was
like the 100th anniversary.
It was all the allies. It was the 100th anniversary. I mean, all the important people were there. This was in France. And, like, Ed Trump, like, showed up the next day by himself. And, like, they had these the excuses about, oh, they couldn't fly because of the rain. And they couldn't motorcade him because it would cause disruptions in traffic. And it's like, well, fucking leaders of all the other countries were there.
Also, Marine One, the helicopter, is designed to fly in a fucking hurricane.
Wow.
So, yeah, yeah. They're full of shit. And then he didn't even go to fucking Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day.
I know. This shit that is, like, it's right there.
It's 8 minutes or something from the White House. You know
who did go to Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day?
In the rain?
The 44th president.
Yeah.
Barack Obama. Like, He's under no fucking obligation to do that. He's a private citizen. But he went to Arlington National Cemetery and talked to families that were there, like honoring their deceased relatives and stuff like that, you know? And, like, Trump, the current sitting president, the quote-unquote leader of the free world, was reportedly eating pizza, watching Fox News, and tweeting from home.
Yeah.
Just such a, and, you know, and I'm not sure if he's a president or the PM or whatever, but the leader of France.
Macron.
Emmanuel.
Prime Minister.
Macron. Yeah. Okay, so he's a prime minister. I forgot what their title was because I know Germany is a chancellor. You know, he made this speech that was about, you know, patriotism is good, but nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism. And like,
with Trump, like, right over there,
doing your "my country first" is a disservice to democracy and a disservice to all of our countries. And Trump's totally on this nationalist streak, you know, America first, rah rah, stuff like that. And so this dumb motherfucker makes this all caps tweet of "make France great again." And a local furry I know, Smokey, was like, "MFGA, really? I've got a better meaning for that. Motherfucker, go away."
So, like, France, like, so great again? Are you trying to, like, what, reestablish the monarchy? They did a pretty good job of stamping that line out.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's just so stupid. I have these up and down emotional swings with politics. And so does Tyrion, where I'm like, there are periods of time where I'm just like, I don't want to know. I can't get up the energy to be pissed at the stupid thing Trump did. And then, like, after the election, Tyrion was so drained that he was like, I really can't care about this. But I was going on about him pulling this shit on the centenary of the armistice and, you know, not going to Arlington on fucking Veterans Day. And, like, I don't know why. It really pissed me off. And I guess some things Trump does just piss me off. And I'm like, these are occasions where, like, all he has to do is show up, you know? Like, these aren't even, like, the major, most challenging aspects of being a world leader.
Haul your fat ass out of your chair.
Show up, make nice, eat some fucking baguettes. He's only in France for 2 days. Fucking fly home.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, shifting back, so the name of the women who won, the two Muslim women, was Rashida Tlaib, T-L-A-I-B, and Ilhan Omar. So those are two names. Then Jared Polis is the governor of Colorado.
Cool.
I found the list.
Okay, yeah.
It got a little buried.
It was in a, yeah, it was in our, we have a little Telegram chat, just the three of us. We actually have two. We have one for chatting, and then we have one where it's like we just
drop
links and drop conversations that we want to remember. And
so Arkansas voters increased minimum wage. Same too did Missouri. Laura Kelly defeated Chris Kobach to win Kansas's governor race. So a Democrat took the governorship of motherfucking Kansas, which is pretty
cool. Oh, and that piece of shit Scott Walker lost his governorship in Wisconsin.
He fucked up that state good.
Yeah, yeah, he really did. And, like, I cannot believe it that he got away with as much horseshit as he did. And I mean, it's kind of a swing state, but it's pretty heavily Democratic. And it blew my mind, honestly, that they had a Republican governor, but whatever.
Then also, you know, Zia gave us the okay. His sister won, unseated a 27-year mayor in her town.
Yep.
And that was, like, on the national news.
Yep. She is an out-married lesbian, and she is now the mayor of her town in New Jersey. And, you know, the article said something like, this guy had been the mayor of the town since she was one. Like, basically her whole life. And, yeah, he was another Democrat. She basically primaried him out and sort of like... And she'd said something that I agree with, and it was kind of on the line. I don't remember word for word, but it was something like, you know, when you're in one position and you have one group of people in power that long, even if they kind of started off with the right ideas, at some point
it's been 20 something years,
at some point you stop and you get out of touch with, you know, the younger demographics and the way that the society is kind of gradually changing. And, you know, it's time for a generational shift.
Yeah, I mean, and
yeah, it's time for a younger person to take the reins.
And that happened a lot here in Texas. And that also happened, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We like saying her name because she's pretty exciting.
And
she's
youngest woman to be elected, yeah, to the House.
She knows how to fucking tweet. She's been posting, doing like Instagram Q&As while she's cooking dinner. She's out there engaging with her constituency and using the internet like an actual person and not some 70-year-old fuck who had to be like tried off.
My staff sent me internet on, you know, when Ted Stevens was talking about
series of tubes.
The email and the series of tubes. Yeah. Yet the elderly do have a lot to teach us. They have a lot of life experience. But when it is technology that was developed when you were in your 50s,
yeah,
it's sort of like, get some people in their 20s and 30s that grew up with or developed this technology to actually tell you how it works. Like, 70 and 80 year olds should not be regulating how the internet functions.
Yeah.
They do not understand it.
They sent me the porns.
And I'm not saying, I mean, that's not their fault. This shit is highly complicated, and there's, hell, I don't understand most of it, and I'm 42, but I'm like, you need to listen to the experts. And when it comes to like shit like net neutrality, when like all the major technological companies that this is what they fucking do are against the idea of removing net neutrality, and these people are just like, no, we're gonna ignore all the experts. It's the same with climate change. We're gonna ignore all the experts because God, I guess, you know.
Well, I've seen people be like, you know, there really should be like an age ceiling on people in government too. Like, past a certain point, you really shouldn't have a say on what the next generation has to deal with because you'll be dead.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with that. That's the major fucking
thing that pisses me off about Brexit is all these old racist fucks voted for Brexit. And it's like, yeah, Brexit will finally happen in like 2 or 3 years, maybe. But
some of you will be dead.
Like, some of them will be dead. They don't have to live with it. You know, there's upheaval this week in Great Britain because Theresa May's government actually put out the 523-page Brexit document that's like, okay, this is what we're proposing. This is what we're taking to the EU to negotiate. And, of course, the left wing in politics hates it because they're like, we're fucked if we do this. And the right wing hates it because it doesn't go far enough, because it still allows for freedom of movement and it stays in the single market. So like, one British commentator said something like, Theresa May has managed to do the impossible. She has united the left and right wing politically. Like, literally everybody hates this fucking deal. And now multiple conservatives have submitted letters of no confidence against Theresa May. And the rule is, if 48 people from her party write and send letters to this particular committee called the 1922 committee, then they have to hold, if 48 of them do it, they have to hold a vote of no confidence within 48 hours. And then they have to have a vote. It's a bare minimum snap majority vote. It's not snap election at this point. It's a minimum majority vote where she has to get, I think it's 159 or 169 conservative ministers have to vote in her favor for her to remain leader. And if she loses it, then they have to have an election within the Conservative Party for who is going to be their new leader. And she is automatically excluded from that process, not allowed to stand for leadership again during that period. And like, my thought on this is, it's like, who the fuck would want that job? I mean, that's why the last guy left. You know, because it's like, okay, the country has voted to do this really stupid thing that it's like, it's a choice between two really bad things. And she's the one that has to fucking be the one to have this document put together and put out there. She's, and the everybody face of it. Hates it. And it's sort of like, who the fuck would want to be PM at this point in British history? You know? It's not going to go well.
Yeah, it really sucks.
Like,
too.
Even if she holds on to her position, which she may, it's her prime minister period is not going to be remembered fondly. You know, it's not going to end well for her as a politician. If I was a conservative minister of parliament right now, I wouldn't want to be PM in this situation. I mean, I wouldn't be a conservative MP, but I'm just saying, like, I can't imagine. I mean,
because you're basically being put in as the figurehead of this disastrous bullshit that's going to fuck up England.
Yeah. And, like, it's not, the backbench MPs that are going to get the blame for this. It's like the buck stops here. Well, I guess the pound stops here. In her case, like,
it's gonna stop. That's for sure.
She's hey. It is. Yeah. When they released this, the pound dropped over 1% in value, and also the fucking stock exchange dropped like 500 points today, something like that. I mean, the markets have closed since I read that article, so it may have rebounded some. Like all the stock markets dropped today when Britain released this document.
Yeah, I mean, like a pound sterling is now $1.28. So it went down today a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, like, it's been volatile, and it's just like, you know, you get to see all this nonsense, and it's like, oh, hey, it's another country having their bullshit fall apart, and not us for once. Yay. So there have been some follow-ups to some non-political stories that we had. So I think we talked about it a while ago. There was a hoax swatting. It was over, like, $1.50 bet in Call of Duty that this guy got another guy to call in a SWAT on a random address.
This like 2 years ago?
Yeah, this was a while back, and it was in Kansas. Right. And it resulted in the guy like walking out of his house going, what the fuck's going on, and getting murdered by cops.
Right.
And the guy pled guilty to making the hoax call that caused that guy to die, and then also pled guilty to like 51 other federal charges.
Jesus.
Like, this guy had been doing this shit for a while. And so he is going to prison for a minimum of 25 years. Tyler Barris is the kid's name. He's 26. He's going to go to prison for 20 to 25 years.
God, imagine losing some of the best years of your life just for being a fucking idiot.
He's going to be spending like the next entire lifespan of his life in federal prison over $1.50. He murdered somebody for $1.50. So that's good that there's finally a little bit of justice, but this guy had been doing a lot of other bullshit for a while. And the reason that they're like, look, we're gonna plea deal you to literally double your lifespan in prison, because otherwise we're gonna be here all fucking week and you're gonna go to prison for infinity plus 1 year. So he's going to jail for a very, very long time. Also, there was an incident in Rochester Hills, which is in Michigan, of a guy who shot at a black student who got lost on the way to school. Young man walks to the door, knocks, and is like,
ask for directions.
Hey, can you help me out? And the guy comes to the door with a shotgun, shoots at him, doesn't hit him, thankfully. Mm-hmm. The kid runs away. And this guy goes to the cops and tries to claim, oh, you know, he was knocking on the door, he was going to rape my wife and all this bullshit. And they're like, you've got a fucking camera on your front door. Like, you have a security camera. And so that guy's getting 4 to 10 years for reckless discharge of a firearm, attempted manslaughter kind of shit. So that's another good one. Then the guy that murdered two people at the Kroger has now 3 hate crimes charges laid on top of him. So that's a good thing. So these are all stories that we had talked about previously. And so there actually has been some follow-ups.
Right.
That is pretty much everything news-wise. And now we can talk on the media side of things, if anything else. Do you guys have any other stories that we haven't touched on?
Not yet, no.
No, I mean, yeah, I was just going to rant about the politics of Great Britain, which we already covered, so, yeah.
Okay.
Which I only did because I happened to read about it today and this big document dropped.
Yeah, like, I haven't looked at Twitter that much today. I've actually been kind of busy. And so, like, I wasn't looking at Twitter for my own mental health. Like, I've been on Mastodon and Thirst posting about my werewolf in Fortnite, but I haven't actually been looking at Twitter or the news all that much. So, yes, werewolf boyfriend update. I now have the werewolf boyfriend. I got to tier 100 like last week, and I got the 70,000 XP required to turn the normal blonde, bland-looking white dude into an actual hot werewolf. So that's nice. I've got the howl emote. I've got this one where it's called hot stuff, where he like licks his finger and goes tss on his hip, but it's way sassier when it's a werewolf and not a human.
Right, right.
So that's really cool. I've been playing with Ajax, playing with some other furries. Like, they're very jealous that I have the werewolf and they don't. But it's been fun. I'm actually getting good at it. Okay. Yeah. good with quotation marks. But it's been fun. Congrats to Epic for getting me into their Shooty Bang Bang Toon game by adding a werewolf.
Furry.
Yeah, like now can I get a girl version? Mm. Make a girl version, you cowards. So other than that, hey, Shiva.
Tangenting into werewolves, Worgen are getting a rework, specifically Worgen females.
Oh, I saw pictures of that.
It will no longer look like stupid snarling chihuahuas.
Yay!
It actually looks kind of good.
Yeah, so this is going on to the BlizzCon chat. So yeah, I saw that and was like, oh, finally, they look cute.
Still no tails, though.
Still no tails.
Yeah.
Well, like, Dire, the werewolf in Fortnite, doesn't have a tail either.
Oh. It's
kind of a shame. They have doodads like that. They just, like, it could have done it, actually. So, what else happened to BlizzCon? Because you're the one that's all into WoW. Like,
WoW's information was not terribly, you know, like, gripping. Diablo's the big dumpster fire that I saw come out of that.
Yeah.
There was a cute voice acting panel for the Blizzard folks.
So step back a sec. I've heard of Diablo, so what was the issue with Diablo?
They kind of hinted like a week before that they weren't going to announce D4. It's not ready, but they were still having a big announcement at BlizzCon. So it's like they're hyping up the crowd, and they reveal that their next new hot Diablo franchise, which everybody's been waiting for a really big, you know, update to that. They're doing a mobile game.
Yeah, and part of the reason that it sucks so much is like they showed a 4 in Roman numerals, but then it zoomed in and became an M.
Mm-hmm.
Like they added another Roman numeral 1 on the other side and it became an M, and that was how they announced it. Not Diablo 4, Diablo Mobile. Diablo Immortal.
They did is there was an existing mobile game. They pretty much which was a Chinese knockoff that grabbed a bunch of their properties. It was very obviously they'd stolen a bunch of stuff from the original Diablo game. It was very thinly. And they basically took this game and properly converted it over to their property. And so it's already existing. They just cleaned it up, and that's what they gave they announced this to in front of a whole bunch of PC gamers, which had been waiting for some new update to their favorite game.
And then cock teased them with a 4
that became an M.
Wow.
And so people were very upset. Like, this is one of those times where, like, the gamers are angry, but generally, like, their fans are too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't cock tease the people that literally pay, what, $150 to come
unless
to
you
your
do it
marketing
like Nintendo
session?
Did, right? Like, didn't they cock tease and then turn around and be like, by the way,
yeah,
the thing you want is happening?
They cock teased us with Isabelle and Smash, and then they went back to Tom Nook at his computer, and they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, we are getting a Animal Crossing game on the Switch in 2019.
And if they'd done this as just like a title, if they had done any kind of hint like, yeah, it's coming. It's out there. But then this is just a tide over.
But they didn't even announce like a potential release date for...
Yeah, like they said they're working on it after the fact.
So the Q&A for this was very sad. One guy basically walked up and says, is this a out-of-season April Fool's joke? And the head dev or something that they had up on stage is like, what? Or no, they asked him if it was going to be on PC or if it's only going to be Android guys or the mobile. Mm-hmm. Guy said, no, this is basically only iOS and Android, blah, 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 blah. Didn't like tangent into playing on PC at all. And the crowd kind of starts booing. And the dev up on stage, what? You guys don't have phones?
Rude. It was disappointing because I expected better, but then again, like, having talked to Tesser a whole bunch about the current state of things, he's pretty disillusioned with it, and I'm fine not playing it right now. But, like, they're doing the Worgen update, yay. They're doing a Goblin update, yay, because Cataclysm was, what, nearly 10 years ago?
Has it been that long? Yeah, something like that.
It was a while back. Like,
oh, quick furry news. Fluff Kevlar drew a cello.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Who's they also Fluff drew the lion mom from
I was just gonna send you
Father of the Pride.
Okay,
I'll send you the link,
it.
Fuzz. They showed a new character, like an original OC Do Not Steal for Heroes of the Storm. They sent a new cowboy lady in Overwatch and a little bit here and there, but it seemed like a bit of a wet fart. Like, I didn't see people coming out of it being very excited, and I know, and I follow a lot of people who are super into WoW and Blizzard-related bullshit, so I was, like, really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also kind of like, I'm waiting for it to be able to play as, like, a Fennec, and if I can't play as a Fennec, they're not getting my money.
That's what people were hoping would get announced, because there's been all kinds of shit data mined about them.
Yeah,
and like, then nothing.
They announced the races or the classes that the Zandalari and the Kul'tiran humans can be. So that's cool, I guess. It's like you can be the tall, upright trolls, Mon, and or the fat humans. But not the skinny humans. It's weird.
It was very lackluster as far as things like BlizzCons go, because there's usually good shit that comes out of that.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. There's been, like, you know, they announced Overwatch there, they announced all sorts of things. So, do either of you, or, well, you don't, Fuzz, but did you ever do the Fallout 76 thing?
No, but, I think Dave's playing that now.
Okay, because, like, I've had people on my ass trying to be like, you should buy this and play it, you should buy this and play it, and I've been kind of like, eh.
Yeah, him and Vash have been playing it, like, the last couple days, I think.
Yeah, it just seems like a bit of a mess at the moment. It's a Bethesda game, but it's online only, so you can't even like mod it to fix the bugs.
Now they seem like they've been having fun, but I've also seen some frustrated sounds come out of them playing together.
Yeah, so that was just one of those like, it's the big release of the moment, and eh. But on the upside, the new Spyro trilogy is out, and everybody can be horny for Spyro again.
I have to
admit, all the dragon daddies.
The new Pokemon one looks cute too.
I'm getting that tomorrow. I saw a screenshot of somebody, I guess it's probably kind of a spoiler, but you can set a Pokemon to be your buddy, and it walks around with you, follows behind you, or if it's big enough, you can ride on top. It's like you can ride an Onix. If you get the Kangaskhan, which is in Pokemon Go, is the Australian thing, it's this giant pouched Pokemon that has a baby in its pouch. It puts your Eevee or Pikachu in its pouch, and you ride on its shoulder.
Yes.
So it has both the baby Kangaskhan and the Eevee in the pouch, and you're riding on the shoulder as it stomps around. It is so cute. I'm going to make my Eevee the prettiest boy and or girl.
Yeah, Dave showed me that yesterday. It's like, oh my god. And he's like, I don't know which one I want, the Pikachu or the Eevee one. I said, I want the Eevee one.
Yeah, like, there's places doing midnight launches, and there's places that are also, like, it's out on the shelves now. You can get I got the $100 Pokeball version, so I'll have the Go Plus Pokeball controller. It functions like a Go Plus as mm-hmm. well as
it does both?
Yeah, it does both for your phone and in the game for your Switch.
Oh, that looks neat. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't huge into Pokemon as a kid, but this looks like, plus it's kind of fun integration with Pokemon Go, you know? So
yeah, and there's people that have said lots of like positive things. That really is a nice pick that Fluff Kevlar did, Fuzz. He put it into our Telegram chat, and I'm like, oh yeah, that is nice. I'm excited because like you can see the Pokemon in the overworld, you can see if they're going to be shiny. There's things like chain catching. The Pokemon are all relative sized, so like if it's a big ass Pokemon, it will tower over you and stuff like that. It seems to be a good entry level game for people that are not super hardcore into the mainline Pokemon games. And it's cute. You can dress up your Eevee. You can give it hats. You can give it hairstyles. What's not to love? So that's exciting. I'm getting mine tomorrow, and I might try to stream it because, you know, let's catch some Pokemans.
Let me know what you think, because, and also how well it would handle like multiple profiles.
Yeah, that's a good question, because previously in all the Game Boy games, you only had one save file. And you couldn't start over unless you wanted to wipe your data. Also, didn't Vash have a PSVR headset?
I think so.
Because that was another thing came out. The Tetris Effect, which is a virtual reality Tetris game. You can play it on your PS4 regularly, but it's made by the guy that did Luminous. And so it's a heavily music-based Tetris game. Like, it's regular-ass Tetris, but all of your movements in the game cause the music to change and adjust. So it's very, very visually striking. And you can play it in VR, you can play it without, but apparently in VR it's quite the thing. And I'm like, you're the only people I know that might have a PSVR headset.
He's got one of those. I can't remember which one it is.
I know I thought I saw one in here a while back, but that's neither here nor there. I just thought that was really cool. And that was a game that came out that I can be excited about. So, Fuzz, how about that Detective Pikachu?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So this is really funny because, like, I've never played a Pokemon game, video or card or anything like that. I mean, my whole thing with Pokemon is that I watched the original show way back in the day. But, like, you know, I know who the characters are and everything, and I hear all my friends talking about Pogo all the time. And, like, Saverin described this movie to me at lunch one day as, like, and I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. And then he showed me the trailer, and I was just like, oh my God, I want to see this. This looks just, like, dumb fun. It's going to be great.
It's an anime-ass plot, but with human actors and CG Pokemans.
Yeah, and fucking Ryan Reynolds played Pikachu.
Yeah, Deadpool Chew. He's like, it's like, hey, can you understand this? Pika. No, he's adorable. No, you're adorable.
Yeah, and I love the hashtag Detective Pikachu has the little emoji of Pikachu head with the hat.
Yeah, and there's been some fun riffs where, like, Sung Wan Zhou did a thing where it's like Detective Pikachu is like, look at the neck. There's Vine Whips, and it's like, Giga Drain. It's like, who's that Pokemon? The Murderer.
Wow.
So that's going to be fun. And people are like, all right, now you guys are going to put a detective hat Pikachu in Pokemon Go for the release next year, right?
They'd be dumb if they didn't.
Yeah, like, you need more, always need more Pikachus and hats. I mean,
yeah.
Now what they need to do is for Let's Go, they need to give me a fucking Eevee and a hat for Pokemon Go. That looks like dumb fun.
Yeah,
it does. Actually, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it does.
This is actually something really cool. The Pokemon designer for this movie
is a fan artist. That's right.
I retweeted this thing, it was like, fan art will get you jobs.
Yep.
And it was both the fan artist, he did fan art for that, and also the artist who did a lot of the character and CG designs for the new Spyro Masters were both fan artists who showed their chops with the fan illustrations, and that got them jobs working as Pokemon designers for Detective Pikachu, as well as remaster designs for Spyro.
Yeah.
Like, they, and it was funny because I went to their Tumblr, and a lot of their design, like, that they'd done as fan work, got translated into the Spyro remasters, which, it's on PS4 and Xbone. I kind of want to get it because I remember playing Spyro 1 back in the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have all this time. All this time to sit down and play video games for long stretches of time. So that's really cool. That was one of those things like fan art. Oh, you know, if this is for anybody that tells you fan art can't get you jobs, well, guess what?
Yeah. That was very cool to see.
So, Shiva, I finally finished watching Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
Me and Sarah really liked it. Dave really didn't like it at all. Like, he thought it was boring and, like, it really slowed and kind of jerky and clunky in places. It's like, I really liked, like, the dialogue and everything in there. It was really good.
I liked it. It was, like, it was very talky because the base games didn't have a lot of lore beyond, yo, Dracula bad, and hey, you gotta whip your way through these fools. But it was based around Castlevania 3, as, like, the main character is Sypha and whatnot, but then, you know, Alucard's there. And it was very talky, because it gives you, it fleshes out the world of the vampires. But then it also had Isaac and, what was his name?
I know who you're talking about. Hector.
Isaac and Hector.
I liked them best of all. I want to know more about them.
Yeah, and what's really weird is those guys were the main, like, main character and antagonist in a PlayStation 2 game that was sort of in the middling range. Like, I remember playing it back in the day, but they were, like, the demon forgers. They were humans who had magical powers who could make the army of the night for him. Like, he could transform corpses into monsters, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in the main game, like, you playing as Hector, you get a little familiar. Like, he had the little pug dog as his pet in the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, you have like familiars that follow you around, and like you can set their attack patterns or they can buff you or whatever. And so like I played that because you could breed them. And so like you could eventually work your way through and get these incredibly powerful monsters. And it was a really interesting game, but it was out on PlayStation 2, and I never expected them to draw upon it. But Isaac and Hector, and then giving them some backstory, like why Isaac is such a dick. Like, he has good reason for it. He was a slave to Crusaders, and like his owner was beating the shit out of him. And then one day he just said, fuck it, and killed him. And then he was like, I'm gonna just fuck humanity. And so he does. He's like this, yo, humanity needs to fucking die. And they set it up for a second season, I guess third, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. It was really talky, but then like the seventh episode was like all action. And there was a good chunk of the sixth, and there was action in the fourth and fifth episodes as well.
All I can say to a bunch of it is Alucard is not okay.
No,
he's very not okay.
Like, the way they end the season with him is like not what I expected, but it also was not completely unexpected.
I mean, it made sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole 12 episodes in total. You can watch it in an afternoon.
At least they gave us more than, what, four last time?
Yeah, like, Konami's doing fucking all in terms of video games right now. So sure, let people make video game anime. And the thing is, it's not even anime, but it's made by a Western company. And it was great. I liked it a lot. They're going to do more, I hope, because they set up the second season. Because Carmilla is still around. Isaac and Hector are still around. There's still plenty of bad, evil shit going on. You know, just because one thing's done doesn't mean the rest of them aren't dealt with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other animated news, I started watching the new She-Ra.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know it was out yet. I'll have to look.
Yeah, I think I saw it because Kate Leth tweeted about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, I should check that out. And I did. I've watched the first three episodes. It's very... it's done by the same DreamWorks Animation. So it's the same kind of studio look of Voltron. But it's She-Ra. You know, it's a fantasy world. It's really funny because, like, the antagonist faction is literally called the Evil Horde. And they just refer to themselves as the Horde. The base of operations is called the Fright Zone. Like,
okay, so who's Bo? B-O-W.
Bo is a black dude who's an archer.
Okay, because Ursula Vernon just tweeted, watching She-Ra, Bo is a precious cinnamon roll and I want to hug him.
He's a cutie. He's very naive and he's kind of the comedy relief character. And then like Glimmer is the daughter of the leader of this one place and she has like teleportation magic and she's, you know, she's trying to prove herself to her parents. And Adora has defected from the evil horde and like has taken up this magical sword to become She-Ra. So like, the characters all have their motivations. It's also really gay. Like, the main antagonist, Catra, she's a cat girl. Heterochromia mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like, she's shown as being incredibly attached to Adora. And, like, to the point that she slept at the foot of her bed curled up like a cat while they were, like, still on the same side. And then, like, the way they interact is very, like, Catra is extremely hurt that Adora would defect. And so, like, there's some tension that's going to come up throughout the rest of the season. You know, for all the people getting huffy about it, like, oh my god, my She-Ra,
like they fucking watched,
like they gave She-Ra a shit, ever. Right?
Yeah.
You know, just these people define themselves by what they hate. Like, you have the original She-Ra. It's on fucking Netflix.
I watched the fuck out of both He-Man and then later She-Ra. As have they brought in Swiftwing yet? Please,
yes, tell. He's in episode 3.
Does he look good?
Yes.
Good.
And he is very surprised by his transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't talk or anything, but he's just like, holy shit, I'm a winged horse. Ah! So I watched 3 episodes of that at the gym last night, and it was good.
Like, that's my childhood coming back around, and so.
Hilda's also really good. Like, we're really in a good time for independent, I wouldn't say independent, but it's like animation that's not necessarily tied to a toy line. The new DuckTales is still really good. They had the 3 Caballeros.
Yeah, I saw someone talk about that actually in my work.
And people were like, I want that parrot to Rami. So, you know, there's people horny for the characters in DuckTales, the adults at least.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
We're in a good time for, like, television shows in terms of, like, the creative output that's being out there. And it's nice to be like, oh, I was watching this thing and it was actually really cool. It's like, we watch the world and it's on fire, but hey, at least there's some media to distract us from the nightmare world we live in.
Yep. So I want to talk about a thing.
Okay.
Briefly. So a pretty important figure in furry history passed away recently. I don't know if I've mentioned him on the show before. His name is Fred Patton. He was 77. And he was majorly involved in the science fiction, anime, and furry fandoms very early on and continuously. Like, he was super involved in the science fiction community most of his life. He chaired two world cons. With anime and manga, he was one of the very early people that started bringing anime and manga over here from Japan and really was involved with, like, getting that fandom started. He actually even won an award for it at Comic-Con. He won a, it's called an Inkpot Award. That was back in, like, 06. On a personal level, For Planet has been working with him for, oh, God, I don't remember how many years now.
Was it before you even bought For Planet?
Oh, no, no.
You got, it started with the, when you guys...
Yeah. The first anthology we published for him came out at AC 2012.
That's a while.
So we've been working with him for 6 years. In that time, he has edited 12 anthologies for us. The 11th, Exploring New Places, came out last Anthrocon, and he was actually working on his last one when he passed away. So the last one is much like the Ursa Major Awards anthology, which was the first one we did. The 12th one is the Kyoto Awards anthology. So it's some of the it's the short stories that were that won or nominated for Kyoto Awards over the last few years. So, like, Tieran mostly worked with him. I worked with him a little bit. He had published a book on the furry fandom and its founding. That came out this earlier this year. And he was, I'm not sure where he got on it, but he was actually working on a separate book for the same publisher that was going to be all about the history of furry publishing. And I'm not sure where he was in that process. But, you know, this is just one of those marks of, hey, the fandom's getting older. The earliest furries are in their 70s now.
I mean, we lost Doug Winger a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not a fan of him, he was
still a pioneer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fred was on my mind because this was just announced the other day. An artist and writer that was pretty close to him was Roz Gibson. And his sister gave her the okay to announce. Well, actually, she requested that she announce it.
Yeah, because she is another old-timer.
So Roz had posted it on a Fur Affinity journal. And Tieran had been worried about him because Fred had sent him an email saying, I'm not going to be able to continue editing this anthology because I'm going into the hospital. Because I believe he had pneumonia or some kind of issue with that. And then he was, according to Roz's journal, he was found unresponsive on the 1st, passed away on the 12th. So, interesting guy, interesting life in fandom. A lot of younger furries do not know his name, primarily probably because he's more involved in the literary side of the fandom. He wasn't really into the fursuiting aspect and things like that. He also had not been to a con in a long time. He had suffered a stroke back in 2005. And, like, he would write us a shitload of emails, and he could only type with one finger. So he got really proficient at, you know, overcoming the obstacles that his stroke left him with, and still led a natural lifespan after that.
And as someone who's had a stroke, like, I have to give him major props.
He stuck it out.
Yeah. It's not easy to pick yourself up.
He was in assisted care ever since his stroke. You know, he didn't fully recover from it. He was confined to a bed or a wheelchair. But he had friends and his sister taking care of him, and they would take him out to see movies and stuff, especially new movies. Like, he saw Zootopia in the theater and things like that because, like, local friends would pick him up for the day and everything. Yeah, it's a bit of a downer, absolutely. But he lived a full life, and He put a lot of literature out there. You know, there's been several furry writers who have said he was the first person that published me in an anthology. You know, so he has a lot of meaning for people like that. So someone maybe you want to look up and read up on a little bit, because if you want to know your furry history, he's basically acted as a historian in the furry and anime and sci-fi fandoms.
I'm still kind of shocked how many young furries I've met that think that this is something new, and it hasn't been around as long as it's been, and
yeah,
where its roots came from.
Like, even, like, to me, like, I discovered the fandom in 97, 98.
They've been going a while.
And I thought it was like an internet thing. And a lot of people still think, like, furry really developed out of the internet. But furry had developed a lot longer ago than that, from furry room parties at Comic-Con and World-Con before Comic-Con became the massive thing that it is now, back when it was just a few thousand people.
I mean, shit, there was people making furry ass stuff with Mares in fanzines, mm-hmm. you know, back when those were still a common, I mean, they are still a common thing to a degree, but they're like digital, but like,
yeah,
printed fanzines. Cause we got to flip through a couple at HavenCon this last year, and there was like,
yeah,
people were horny for Mares the moment she showed up from the animated series.
Yep.
And there was erotic drawings of this cat lady in this 1970 something Star Trek zine. Like, people were horny for the anthro characters for a long time.
There were these things called APAs, which I'm not sure if I've discussed on the show before, but it's short for Amateur Press Association. And what it would be, like, it was mostly a members only thing, where like you would draw your comic or whatever, and you would make copies of it for everybody. You'd photocopy it for everybody that was in the group, like if there's 50 members of the APA, and everybody would do this. They would write their stories or their reviews or their columns or their letters to the editor, and then they would mail it all to the guy who was the editor. And Fred was an editor of one of these early ones for quite a while. And then that editor would put it all together, and I mean physically.
Yeah,
like they would put it all together. They'd either spiral bind it, or they would do the staple in the electrical tape binding, sometimes by hand, sometimes by going to places like Kinko's or wherever they had back then. And like, and then they would mail, everyone paid, but then they would like mail a copy out to all the members. And some of the larger ones got to a point where they would make some additional copies, and they would sell them either over the internet or some small distributors that were around in the 80s and 90s would carry them, things like that. There's Gallery and Yar. My mind's blanking now, but there's like a shitload of them.
I have a physical copy of like Tales of the Taipan Universe that mm-hmm. I paid $1 for at Anthrocon 2004 because it had a bunch of Terry Smith illustrations in it.
Yep. And but Chester was a member of the crew
yep.
on the Taipan. So and there's so quite a few there Chester pictures.
Chester and the wolf guy.
Chris Deck. He wasn't in Taipan, but he was in Havoc Inc.
But he was in illustrations with him, with Chester.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, yeah, it was like I remember paying $1 for one at Anthrocon 04 and mm-hmm. thinking that was the coolest shit. But yeah, I mean, like, this is the kind of stuff that the fandom had to grow from.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's so much pre-internet bullshit that we don't have.
There's a guy on Twitter,
Summercat,
or Bengali, I think his persona name is. He's yeah. changed names a couple of times, so I'm not quite sure. But he started a project maybe a year or so ago now called the Furry Library, where he's trying to collect as much printed furry media from the primarily the 20th century as he can. Like, basically all the stuff that existed pre-digital. And, like, he'll post it, like, hey, if you're in this area, wherever he lives, you know, he by appointment, you can come and see it. He also packs up a good deal of it as, like, a sampling of it and brings it to cons and does panels on it sometimes, things like that. So, stuff like he... he's got like a full run of Furlough, full run of Genus Mail, and you know, a bunch of these old a bunch of the old con books and stuff from the early conventions,
yeah,
early Anthrocons, conferences, things like that, you know.
Yeah, I've offered to send him some stuff in the past.
Mm-hmm. So like there's at least some people out there that are trying to like recapture some of that. Also funny enough, some of the group that did conference, like Rod O'Reilly and Mark Merlino, a couple of the people that were like heavily involved with starting the organization, still have the conference URL. And if you go to it, they're actually scanning in a lot of the old conference material. So like con books, advertisements for furry room parties, or little art chat books and things like that that were around at the time. And they're putting that stuff online and organizing it by year. And that's, I think it's conference.org, if you could go and double check that for me. But that's a neat resource also for some of this fandom history, if you want to like see some of our early beginnings and what furry artists were drawing in the 80s and 90s.
It's just conference.com. .org takes you there, too.
Oh, okay, cool. So, conference.com.
I'll there put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
So, long story short, furry's been around for a hot minute.
Yeah, and going back to my topic, and Fred Patton was a big part of that. So, this is sort of my in memoriam section here. I just wanted to mention that somebody important in our community has passed away, and it's his contributions to the fandom and the early days of the fandom in general are a very interesting topic, especially since a lot of it is art and writing, and that is if you couldn't tell, is totally my wheelhouse. Mm-mm. In the fandom.
Surely you're kidding.
Yeah.
Not so. Yours.
If you're listening to this and you're in the fandom for the same reasons I am, you know, go check out some of that stuff.
So like they have a scanned version of Infernation, which is a newsletter that was out that is from 1991.
Yep. They have like a lot of old stuff there.
91. I was like a sophomore. No, I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
I was 8.
Shut up. In 91, I would have been, I
was also 12.
Been a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I was 12, so I was pretty young.
No, you wouldn't have been a sophomore in high school then. You would have been in junior high if you were 12.
You forget I didn't go to junior high.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. I did sixth grade, then there was this weird in-between year, and then I went right into high school.
Oh, all right.
So I went to 2 months of junior high, half days. That's it.
So I was 15 in 91 then. So Savard was 8. Almost half my age.
Yeah, well, what can I do? I'm just young.
Yeah.
I am the young Finnick, and I'm still 35, so.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap this up, unless we have anything further. I mean, Stan Lee died.
That's, I was going to say, that's the other thing peace. That happened the I same think, day yeah. as... Fred Patton was.
All that's been said about Stan has been said, I think. I mean, obviously. Yeah, I mean,
we acknowledge it, but there are people that will have more to say on it, and you've probably heard it. But
yeah.
It sucks that he died. He did a lot for comics and all that fun stuff.
But, well, you know.
He was huge into.
He was 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stan Lee and Marvel was like a huge part of my childhood and really influential into where I got as a young person and where I was going to go with my life. And yeah, it does tie into furry and, you know, my love of comics. So
yeah,
but still, he's a much more public figure and a lot of people are a lot more familiar with him.
I'm just going to add on a different topic, since like probably no show next week because of Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. That's kind of a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The week after Thanksgiving is Midwest Fur Fest in Chicago. I'm not going to it, so
I'm not either.
We'll have a show, but I just wanted to say next week's Thanksgiving, and then right after that is MFF. So if you're going to MFF, of course, for Planet, we'll have tables in the dealer's room. So yep. Please go see us and do some shopping. We'll have a lot of new releases. And we will be doing some kind of Black Friday through Cyber Monday deal like we do every year. My goal is to get all of our new stuff for Midwest up on our website before Black Friday so that we can be like, bam, here's all the new shit. Here's a special deal that we're doing. Please buy our stuff. Because we just dropped a bunch of money on printing, and now we need to sell this stuff.
You printed it, and now it has to go out the door to pay for itself.
Yeah. And actually,
funny how that works.
In another note of furry excellence, our dude Sonic Fox Injustice 2, he's like number one Injustice 2 player in the world, number one DBZ player in the world, also extremely gay. And in a very cool note, the guy he beat, he's given him $10,000 to help pay for his dad's cancer treatment. So that's cool as shit. He's a great dude. I think he's going to MFF. You see him, give him a high five for being a cool dude.
On that note, I'm going to follow up with more furry good news.
Okay.
So as we mentioned before, Dog Bomb, a fursuiter who's been diagnosed with ALS, he recently participated in a big ALS charity walk where it's where people will like, you know, one of those charity walks where like you create a team and see which team can gather the most money. And his team, Team Tony, named after him, raised the most money by a fairly solid margin. They raised $33,000. A year ago, his doctor told him that by this point in the disease's progression, he would be in a wheelchair. He wasn't. He did the walk with the other furries on his team. So
good.
Not only is Dog Bomb still doing well, but the Dog Bomb furry team raised $33,000 to go towards ALS research, which is awesome. Also, he was tweeting today. He had his he's undergoing an experimental procedure because, honestly, if you're suffering from a terminal illness, why not try something that, even if it doesn't work, will tell scientists something to try and maybe help either him or somebody in the future. But they did this thing where about a month ago, they took a bunch of stem cells out of his spine and they did something to them. And today or yesterday, he had them injected back into him. So he's recovering from that in the hospital right now. He's getting pudding, which is very important. He's been tweeting about the pudding, but he's like, it might be too early to tell, but like, so he has like a double jointed thumb or finger. I can't remember which. And, he has not been able to move it the way it used to for a while now. And today he was able to. So he's like, you know, it might be too early to tell, but I wonder if the little stemmies are working. So he's had that process. He's in recovery now. So, you know, wishing him the best with that. I mean, be fucking amazing if this worked out and like the disease actually started regressing or something, you know. High hopes there, I know. But like I said, even if it doesn't work out for him, it's an important clinical trial and he's still giving to the world, even at this point with a terminal illness, where he's willing to put himself through even more hurdles to raise money, to try to help find a cure with the clinical trial. So, woo!
Good.
Yeah, that's Dog good Bomb. Shit.
He's still doing well. He's still able to walk, which is apparently impressive. Pretty amazing, considering the progression of this illness. So there you go. That is your furry medical up. That's the furry good news of the week.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, the CNN documentary dropped, which I have not watched.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay, so
did it drop or is it airing soon?
I think it dropped, but was what I was seeing. People were talking about it online. So they filmed this documentary at the first Anthro Northwest last year. And it's, I believe Lisa Ling is the name of the CNN correspondent.
It airs on the 19th.
It airs on the 19th.
9 to 10 p.m. called Furry Nation. This is Life with Lisa Ling.
Right. This is Life with Lisa Ling. That's the name of the show.
So that airs
The promotions Monday. For it and some information about it have already started to been released. Like CNN has been putting up like a couple of slideshows, you know.
Like these are the furries.
These are the furries. They're a very misunderstood fandom. So yeah, people are starting to have reactions about that. That, I mean, I know we want to wrap it up for the week, but that does lead into a very interesting discussion, which maybe we can watch it once it's dropped and then we can have a talk about it. But they're leading with furries, not just about sex. It's about, or furries, not really about sex. It's about all this. And
there are takes.
There are interesting takes. There's a lot of different opinions going around about that. And of course, I'd like to discuss that some more. Want to wait and watch the show, see what their take
is. When was that coming out?
Monday, and Spaz is going to catch it for me.
All right, cool.
We can always watch it next week. Well, I guess we won't be recording next week, but...
We'll watch it before we talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And then we can discuss our takes on... You know, well, whatever.
Do a special episode.
Do a special episode. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So to wrap things up, you can always email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us on Twitter, southpawscast. You can find us on Tumblr, southpawscast.tumblr.com. You can find us. You can just go to southpawscast.com, I think. You can rate and review on iTunes and whatever else podcatchers. Follow us on Podbean, yada yada. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. Give us some money, we'd really appreciate it.
We're on the everything
helps. Yeah. You can find me at Saverin Drake on Twitter. You can see me making photo werewolf posts boyfriend. About my dog and or werewolf, and then the Fortnite
Saverin's
bullshit.
Twitter is worth following for the dog pictures alone.
Yes. You can find me on snouts.online at just Saverin. Find me on Twitch at Saverin. I'm going to try and play some Pokemon Let's Go this week.
Cool.
My last thing that I streamed was some of the last Fallout 76 beta, and I was not that impressed.
Mm.
I had made a butch lady and running around in a pork pie hat, aviator glasses, and a priest frock. So she invites you to join Reverend Rafa's Church of Lesbos. She was a butch lady. So that's that, Fuzz.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf, where I will be tweeting the things. Of course, you can follow my publishing company accounts at For Planet and at Bad Dog Books. Also, forplanet.com, baddogbooks.com. Twitter is like the first place where I tend to announce new items. So if you're interested in what new comics and books we'll have coming out, our Twitter is the place to be. And then I try to get around to posting that information elsewhere. But honestly, I could use hiring a part-time social media person, but... If I could afford to hire anybody for Planet, it'd be me. So yeah, follow that stuff. You know, I am brought to you by forplanet.com.
Buy some books.
And over to you, Shiva.
You can't find me in many places this recently. I'm Chimera, both on Telegram and on Twitter. Not that I tweet all that much, but you can find me there. That's it for these days.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And on that note, good night.
And buy books.